Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stage Right, the show that looks at the lack of conservative voices in theater and asks, why? With your host, Rocky Benisher.
I don't know why. Somebody who's listening either live or those who will listen on archive soon enough that, I don't know, I think we're going to have technical difficulties. It took me a long time to call in today. But anyway, we'll persevere because that's what we're about here, perseverance. We have to be about perseverance because we are in a distinct minority as conservatives in the theater world. I'm Rocky Benisher, and everybody, welcome to Stage Right, the show that's on every Sunday at 1:30 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, where we talk about the conservative voices in theater. And when you mention the conservative voices in theater, most likely, well, we're finding more than conservative voices out there, and there are plenty untapped conservative voices in theater out there, just waiting to be heard. But, you know, you've got to figure out a way to be heard over the loud, raucous din of theater and the arts. My number to call in is 347-884-9659. That's 347-884-9659. If you'd like to write to us, we're at stageaudio1@gmail.com. That's all one word there. Stageaudio1, the number one, at gmail.com. I'd also like to remind you that we're this group of social mentoring and online risk assessments for your child's online presence. I don't know who knows what's going on, what your are doing on the internet, on things like Pinterest, Instagram, of course, the old by Facebook and Twitter. Is it one? I think that's drinks. It's a whole new world out there. And as such, I don't know that we're keeping up with the technology that well in protecting our young ones. So please make sure you call Xander Business Group. Internet, never forget. So you can Xander Group, 768-65-9614. That number again is 60-65-9614, or by emailing info at xanderbusinessgroup.com. Xander, X-A-N-D-E-R, xanderbusinessgroup.com. Hey, I'm very pleased to announce, before we talk about the stuff we want to talk about today, but I'm really very pleased to announce that our audience has grown in leaps and bounds. I'm looking at the numbers of the people to this show, either live or archived, and the numbers are great. And I post information of a show to a lot of Facebook groups out there, conservative groups, theater groups, and just patriot groups. And the response has been really phenomenal. So I thank everybody. We're getting more and more people listening to the show. We're getting more and more guests on the show, as you've seen. And we're working on something very special for the next coming weeks as we finally, in some respects, moving away from the Republican Theater Festival of 2012 in a number of weeks. And we're on to a new kind of topic today, and this will take us through the next few. This is a minute monologue. I want to see if anybody out there recognizes this monologue, where it's from, and who wrote it. So let's listen to this.
Professor, I came here as a favor, at your personal request. And perhaps I should not have done so, but I did, on my behalf and on behalf of my group. And you speak of the tenure committee, one of whose members is a woman, as you know. And though you might call it good fun, or an historical phrase, or an oversight, or all of the above, to refer the committee as good men and true, it is a demeaning remark. It is a sexist remark. And to overlook it is to countenance continuation of that method of thought. It is a remark sufficient? Sufficient? Yes, it is a fact. And that story which I quote is vile and classist and manipulative and pornographic. What gives you the right, yes, to speak to a woman in your private... Yes, yes. I'm sorry. You feel yourself empowered. You say so yourself. To strut, to posture, to perform, to call me in here. You say that higher education is a joke and treat it as such. You treat it as such and confess to a taste to play the patriarch in your class, to grant this, to deny that, to embrace your students. How can you deny it? You did it to me. Here. Yes, you did. You did. You confess. You love the power to invent, to deviate, to transgress whatever norms have been established for us. But I tell you that you are vile and that you are exploitative. And if you possess 1 ounce of that inner honesty that you describe in your book, then you can look inside yourself and you can see those things that I see and you can find revulsion equal to my own. Good day.
Many on right now. That's really something we don't know a lot of people on the line, except when they're calling in to speak to me. As guests, that's the point. As guests, that's why they would be on the line. Okay, that Oleana. 7 years since it first produced, and 10 years revoked. Because the accusations of a young student who was the person you heard. And the person you heard, by the way, was Ella Gill. She is an actress from Los Angeles, or working in Los Angeles right now. And I'm trying to get in touch with her because we'd like to talk to her about that play and her reaction to playing that part of Carol in Oleana. Anyway, so the professor is... brought up on sexual harassment. And he denied it. And she says, I could retract my accusation if you agree to remove books certain. And then no few in typical Mehmet fashion. And for some in the world because of this play and what it at the time. Well, I mean, I can see Mehmet getting this from Gus. People who think the way that this does, that every event is in hey, look, we almost was a liberal back day. But Mehmet, certainly I'm not myself on any kind of a plane with David Mehmet, arguably our greatest living American playwright. I am not. What I'm saying is that there was a time I too was a role when I was young, but like David Mamet, as I heard the liberal argument and even found the liberal argument, what I'm saying is that I didn't agree with it. It was giving me. It was taking my energy to say things in the liberal. several veins, and then finally I came on my own. And then college, very early on, maybe high school. So I've been a rational conservative for many years now. But David Mamet came out of the closet. David Mamet put an article in the Village Voice, known for its right-wing commentary. I am no longer a, quote-unquote, brain-dead liberal. And to credit, publish this. And I, of course, he's David Mamet, and playwright. This essay, Why I Am No Longer a Brain-Dead Liberal, taught one portion of his essay, which is available. And you'll have a 35-minute video interview between Mamet and Peter Robinson, representing the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Robinson is of the Hoover Institution. And David Mamet talking about his realize this is what you know. He's changed, the people who will talk to you. And Mamet says, of course, yes. There are people. Don't talk to me anymore. A clip from that. Let's talk about why I am no longer a dead liberal, what he calls election season. We'll go back to the 2000 and we'll start on subsequent shows, moving forward, talking about his plays. And one of the things that is, has the reaction of David Mamet in the mainstream changed because he is now known as a conservative. It's not now known. He has come out as a conservative. So a lot of people on our side. Really happy to have David Mamet, though. So here is David Mamet's Why I'm No Longer Brain Dead Liberal, not all. I wrote a play about politics. It's called Nova. 2000. And comment is actually as genuine as it might seem. I mean, best is a good song, but has nice relations, which is the flag of convenience of sailed. But my play, it turned out, was actually about politics, which is to say about the polemic between persons of two opposing views. The argument in my play is between the president, who is self-interested, corrupt, stubborn, and realistic, and his leftish, libertarian, utopian, socialist speechwriter. So I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to get my hands on this play. I'm going to read this play. I think that what president... Because I made a leap of faith that this president, self-interested, corrupt, stubborn, and realistic, hi, everybody. I'm sorry about that. I told you there were going to be problems. I told you this. Did I not? And, of course, there were. So I hope you're hearing me now. Looks like we are connected. So my apologies there. Oh, it seems like a long time, and it's probably not even a minute that we're off the air, but it's very annoying. Okay. So we were talking about David Mamet, and... we're saying about this leftist utopian socialist speechwriter, and my assumption that the president was a right winger, and that's not what Mamet is saying. Okay, so the play, while being a laugh a minute, is, when it's at home, a disputation between reason and faith, or perhaps between the conservative or tragic view and the liberal or perfectionist view. The conservative president in the piece, okay, so he is conservative. Okay, I'm stopping here. So that if I get David Mamet on the phone, and by the way, we are trying to get David Mamet to come on this show. Now, I know it's a long shot, but we will not get him on the show if we don't try. Okay, but he says, so then how could a conservative president have a left-wing socialist, lesbian aside, I mean, that's possible, but a left-wing socialist speechwriter for a conservative president? Okay, if I phone, okay. So, the conservative president of the piece holds that the people are each out to make a living, and the best way for government to facilitate to stay out of the way, as the inevitable abuses and failure system, free market economics, are less than those of government intervention. I took the liberal view for many decades, but I believe I have changed my mind. As a child of the 60s, I accepted as an article of faith that government is corrupt, that business is exploitative, and people are generally... Well, that's two in one show. That's great. We're doing great here. All right. Well, I'll have to find out what the problem is. But at any rate, let me continue. I have a clip I want to play for you. Hopefully, we will stay connected. All right. People are generally good at heart. I mean, that's the liberal point of view, that people are generally good at heart? They certainly don't think conservatives are. Okay. These cherished precepts have, over the years, become ingrained as increasingly impracticable prejudices. Why do I say impracticable? Because although I still held these beliefs, I no longer applied them in my life. How do I know? My wife informed me. We were riding along and listening to NPR. I felt my facial muscles tightening and the words beginning to form in my mind. Shut the F up, she prompted. And her terse, elegant summation has always awakened me to a deeper truth. I had been listening to NPR and reading various organs of national opinion for years, wonder and rage contending for the price of pride of place. Further, I found I had been, rather charmingly, I thought, referring to myself as a brain-dead liberal and to NPR as National Palestinian Radio. Now, Mamet, by the way, is a Jew. In the interview that I urge you to get on YouTube with Peter Robinson, he talks about the Talmud and its relationship to what he now believes. Very important. Okay, this to me is this is to me the synthesis of this worldview with which I now found myself disenchanted that everything is always wrong. Wow. But in my life, a brief review revealed everything was not always wrong, and neither was nor is always wrong in the community in which I live or in my country. Further, it was not always wrong in previous communities in which I had lived, and among the various and mobile classes of which I was at various times a part. And I wondered, how could I have spent decades thinking that I thought everything was always wrong at the same time that I thought that people were basically good at heart? Which was it? I began to question what I naturally thought and found that I do not think that people are basically good in heart. Indeed, that view of human nature has both prompted and informed my writing for the last 40 years. I think that people in circumstances of stress can behave like swine, and that is not only a fit subject, but the only subject of drama. Wow. Okay, let's listen to a clip from David Mamet in that interview. It's a 2-minute clip from that interview where he talks about, with Peter Robinson, where he talks about recognition symbols and the left. Listen to this.
To arrive at a conclusion. And that's how an argument could take place, because, of course, all people argue. And that's what a democracy is. When people stop arguing, what you have is a dictatorship. So I started trying to apply that to my daily life and realized that most of what I thought was political thought was just the reiteration of recognition symbols. Right? So if one looks at, because I don't think it happens on the right, but when you look at the left, most of what passes for discourse is recognition symbols. Do we agree? Are you as part of my tribe? There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just not. It's not. I realize that's not the basis for a life lived according to political principles. It's not going to get you anywhere.
So a recognition symbol, just to make sure I follow you, I drive a Prius.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is conveying something about what tribe I belong to by choosing that brand or by choosing an environmentally conscious.
Well,
is that the sort of thing you mean?
Sure, of course.
Okay.
But also, for example, I was talking to somebody about the movie I was going to do, and I said I was thinking of John Voight. They said, oh, John Voight, he's crazy. So, I mean, I happen to know John Voight. He's a friend of mine. He's certainly not crazy, and neither is his thought crazy. So that's an exchange. It's an interrogation.
Right.
You understand? It's like,
in other words, John Voight is conservative. That's what they really mean.
Do we agree that John Voight's crazy? I was giving a lecture in New York about political thinking very early on in my conversion, and one woman said, wait a second. Do you believe that the Earth is growing warmer? And I thought, my God, that's fascinating, right? What I'm looking at is not a request for information or the desire to engage in an exchange of views or even an argument. What I'm looking at is a cultural interrogation. Mm-hmm. Are you part of my tribe or not? Because if you're part of my tribe, we're fine. But if you're not part of my tribe, we can no longer talk to each other anymore.
Mamet, and pardon me if that was a little choppy, it's part of the connection that we have problems with. But Mamet is clearly saying that, number one, the left does not allow for any counter-argument. And he's saying that in the Talmudic, he says in this interview, as in the Talmudic tradition, there is a place for argument. And it doesn't mean a fight. It means I will hear your side, you will hear my side, and together we will come to some kind of an agreement, a consensus, or I may be wrong. But this is the way we operate. He is saying that in today's climate, and this interview is from late 2013, I believe, early 2014, so it's a very recent conversation. He is saying that what we have today with this administration in this regime is a complete shutdown of that kind of Talmudic conversation. And he says, as you heard, a woman asking him if he thinks the earth is getting warmer, because you have to be all part of there, as he puts it, tribe or group. You have to be part of that. And this is a real challenge for conservative thinkers, but even more so for conservative writers and conservative playwrights, because the group that we're supposed to belong to, we cannot possibly belong to, not in all of its manifestations. I really like what he says, too, in the article, that it is people in circumstances of stress can behave like swine, and this is not only a fit subject, but the only subject of drama. So, taking this to the dramaturgical level, and he is arguing that people who are being swine is a natural subject, the only fitting subject for drama. So, in the conservative, we have people who are acting lousy, but we don't peg them as liberal. Well, freeze the charm, folks. We're out of time. I am so sorry if this was a difficult show for you to listen to. I do apologize. We had a real problem today, but I want to tell you that I'm back every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll continue this conversation about David Mamet. We're going to try and get Mamet's scholars on, actors, all kinds of people. I want to thank you for listening, if you could, to Stage Right today. Again, every Sunday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we are exiting Stage Right.